Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the meditation upon His blessed and holy word. We would like to bring to your heart's attention the words of the beloved Apostle Paul, written in the book of Titus, the Epistle to Titus, chapter 2 and verse 13, where we are commanded to be looking unto Jesus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May I repeat the words again? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words simply mean and plainly mean, we should be looking for the second coming of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, from heaven above. We raise the question, my beloved friend, are you looking for the Savior to come? Or the responsibility that you and I should realize the one who came to save us long ago is coming again? But may I particularly bring before you a few thoughts as to the reality of His coming. The reality of His coming? The scoffer may say, where is the promise of His coming? But, oh, the believer turns to the Word of God. And may I present to you these precious thoughts, proving the reality of His coming. First of all, I hope you've read the New Testament through. If never you have, I command you, read the New Testament from beginning to the end, from the Gospel of Matthew to the end of the book, the last book, the Revelation. You will find within the whole New Testament there are three great subjects prevailing. There are many other subjects, but I wish to mention particularly three only. The first great subject in the New Testament that you will confess when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the Gospels as we call them. And there we have the record that the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God has come into this world, and He has lived, He has loved, and He has died, He was buried, and He rose again, and He went back to heaven. Let me please repeat it. The Son of God has come into this world and returned back to heaven. He came because God so loved the world, and He returned. Now listen to this carefully. He came because God so loved the world, but He returned because the world hated God and drove Him out. But now may we raise the question. If the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world because God loved the world, and then He died upon the cross to save the world and went back to heaven, would not we be right to raise this question that God would ask of every man, woman, boy, and girl, of every sinner? What have you done with my Son? What have you done with the Lord Jesus, my Son, that I sent to save you? And that surely should be the question raised in our hearts. And to you, my dearly beloved friend, if you never have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we ask the question, why not? God wants to ask you, what have you done with my Son? And to you and I who may be saved, the saints of God, we may raise the question that God would ask our hearts, what is my attitude toward the world? The second great truth in the Bible, our New Testament particularly, the Holy Spirit has come down to the earth. And He is still here. Now, if you know your Bible simply, you know well that on the day of Pentecost, recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father from heaven, sent by the Son of God after He went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down to the earth. Now, why did He come? Oh, He came to be a powerful convictor. He came to be a converter of sinners. The Lord Jesus said when He is come, He will convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, meaning Satan. Now, beloved, may I say, the Holy Spirit came into this world to convict, to save. Now let me raise another question that God should ask. What have you done with my Spirit that I sent? Have you received the Savior that He pointed you to? Have you taken my Son as your Savior, of whom the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, pointed your soul to that Savior, convicted you of sin, convicted you of needing righteousness, only to be found in Christ, and warned you of coming judgment, if you receive not the Savior? And may I say again, my beloved friend, the Holy Spirit is still here. But then there's another great truth in the Word of God, and it is this: not only that the Son of God came to the world and went back to heaven, not only that the Holy Spirit came down to the earth and still is here, but we must admit another great truth. The Word of God teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again to receive His people for Himself, and also to execute judgment upon those who are ungodly. He's coming again. Ah, my beloved, let me say, if you admit one or two of these facts, you'll have to admit the whole three. If you deny one, you must deny all of them, for they all rest specifically and precisely on the same authority, and that is the Word of God. Is it true that the Son of God was rejected, that He was cast out and crucified by the world? You know it. Is it true that He's gone back to heaven? The Word of God declares it. Is it true that He's now seated at the right hand of God in glory? Is it true that the Holy Spirit came down 50 days after Christ's resurrection? Just as true as the Word of God can make them. Then, my beloved friend, it is just as true that the Son of God will come again, literally, personally, from heaven above. Now, may I mention this? Read the New Testament through, and you will find the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned 318 times in 260 chapters of the New Testament. Oh, my beloved, He Himself declared He would come. He gave His promise, the promise of His own word. John, chapter 14, verse 3. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thank God for the promise of His coming, His own word. May I go even further? You not only have the promise of the Savior Himself that He would come, you have the confirmation of that promise by the angels, as you may read in Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. At the ascension of the Lord Jesus, every disciple saw that blessed person whom they loved so dearly leave them from the earth. He rose. He did not disappear quickly, but gradually they watched His body go into the heavens above, until a cloud received Him out of their sight, and they kept gazing at that place, that spot, when He disappeared from their view. And as they stood gazing up into heaven, two men in white apparel, undoubtedly angels, said to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is gone into heaven shall so come again in like manner that ye have seen Him go." Yes, my beloved, I say again, there's not only the promise of the Lord Jesus Himself, there's the promise of the confirmation of the angels. He will come again. And then what shall I say? When you read the epistles, you'll find that every writer, whether it be Paul, whether it be Peter, whether it be James, whether it be John, whether it be Jude, no matter who, J, each one of them, throughout every epistle of the New Testament, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is repeated in its doctrine. He's coming again. And then may I present to you, last of all, as you go to the very last chapter in the book of the Revelation, I commend you reading that last chapter, and I beg that you will notice verse 7, verse 12, and verse 20. May I repeat that again? Note verse 7, Note verse 12. Note verse 20 in the last book of the Bible. Three times it is the Lord Jesus himself at the close of the Bible, at the close of the New Testament, declares, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly." My beloved is coming again. His own blessed promise, the confirmation of the angels, the teaching of all the apostles, and last of all, in that great book of the Revelation, describing in the power and glory of his return near the end of it, and all that it will bring, the very last chapter. Three times the Lord Jesus said, "I am coming." Oh, my beloved, do you believe it? Oh, do you believe it? Now may I state very firmly and very clearly, I know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh, as the Lord Jesus has properly stated. And I bring before you his solemn words in Matthew 24 and verse 44. Ye know not the day, watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, my beloved, let me just say this. In the closing moments of our message, why is it we know not the day nor the hour? For two reasons. First of all, if you're unsaved, the Lord Jesus would remind you, you should get ready, that he may come at any moment. And you know not the day, you know not the hour. And likewise, you and I who may be believers in the Lord Jesus, neither do we know the day nor the hour. Many, many years ago in the city of Miami, at the close of a message concerning the coming again of the Lord Jesus, a beloved believer, after the meeting, came to me and said, "Brother Bram Hall, I can tell you the hour that the Lord's coming." Well, I looked at him very sharply. I wondered what I was to get. But I said, "Go ahead." And so he replied, "In an hour that you think not." Well, I said, "My friend, I've got to agree with you." My listener, whether you're saved or whether you're not saved, may I raise the question, are you ready? And if you're not saved, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior before it's too late. We ask that you'll do it now. Father, precious is that precious truth. Blessed the truth. He's coming again. Lord, rivet by the power of thy Holy Spirit this fact to the heart of every listener, to the hearts of thy people, and to the heart and conscience of any unsaved. And may the Holy Spirit convince them and convict them and convert them to our Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Amen.